in a month devoted to the theme of risk. That was some risk-taking right there. As one of the dancers said in preparation, it's so outside my comfort zone that I have to do it. So let's echo that song one more time. I can't keep quiet.
I can't keep quiet.
We can't keep quiet.
We can't keep quiet.
I'm not quite ready for y'all to be quiet. So I want to start my sermon by asking us to pass the peace. It's a ritual that I loved when I attended All Souls Episcopal Church. So when I say, peace be with you, you say, and also with you. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Now I'll ask you to turn to your neighbors and do the same. If you feel so moved, reach out and shake hands with someone new. Hug the dancers who've returned to their seats. Let the words of peace pass among you. Thank you. Rituals like this center us. They remind us that we gather here with a common purpose, bound together as a community yearning for spiritual awakening and striving for justice. We offer each other peace and safety. We provide sanctuary for each other. When we feel welcomed in a place, when we feel a sense of peace, we can be more alive to the beauty around us, more aware of the injustices we need to address, more awake to the possibilities for change. We can take more risks. Now, as I was thinking about this sermon, one song played again and again in my head. For many of you, it will bring back memories of Michelle Voliquet. For me, it's a memory from my days as a Girl Scout. It's a little loud, a little silly, maybe a little risky, but it reminds us of something important.
I'm alert, awake, alive, enthusiastic. I'm alert, awake, alive, enthusiastic. I'm alert, awake, alive, I'm alive, awake, alert, I'm alert, awake, alive, enthusiastic.
That song is a spiritual shout out, my friends. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. When we are all of these things, we expand our abilities to take risks. We are alive. Those dancers in the aisles testify to that. When we are truly alive, we risk the safety of today for the possibility of a better tomorrow. We are awake. Think back to our chalice lighting. Stay together, friends. Don't scatter and sleep. Our friendship is made of being awake. I know that when I pay attention, when I am fully awake, the divine shines out from the faces around me, and the deeper my connections go. We are alert. Our social justice committee helps us with that. Being alert helps us notice what needs to be transformed, allows us to become people who change, and then people who change the world. We are Unitarian Universalists, so we are enthusiastic about making a difference in the world, committed to our belief that every person has inherent worth and dignity. We get out the vote. We stand on the side of love. We raise our voices in protest. Alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. If we live into each of these words, we will be a vibrant, engaged community, vibrating with spiritual energy. That is something our world needs right now. Poet William Stafford says to us, "It is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes or no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep." The darkness around us is deep. We can't keep quiet. There is so much injustice in the world. We live in a broken system that demands unreasonable risks from vulnerable people. We live in a broken system that makes people unsafe. One risk I believe we must take, standing up against the fear and evil of our immigration policies. As we know, President Trump has unleashed the full force of the federal government to find, arrest, and deport those in the country without documents. Hardworking parents, an Oakland grandfather in the country for 35 years, a single mom of three children, multiple appalling deportation stories fill the news. The arrests, sweeps, and intimidation share a brutal randomness, a randomness designed to create panic and fear. That fear has had immediate effects. Witnesses at Richmond's West County Detention Center speak of immigrant children skipping school, of families canceling doctor's appointments, of fathers nervous about driving to work. We know that the immigration and customs enforcement officials are targeting courthouses, arresting people in the very place where they go to seek justice. That is wrong. We know that legally eligible families are choosing not to enroll or even unenrolling from programs they need. Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, free school lunches. The fear sown by the Trump-era policies is pushing families to go hungry rather than risk deportation. That is wrong. Fear has other impacts, too. In Los Angeles, the police chief announced this week that Latino immigrants had suddenly and sharply become less willing to report crime. The deportation crackdown has made immigrants afraid of going to the police. Imagine a young woman, imagine your daughter, your sister, your mother, he said, not reporting a sexual assault because they are afraid their family will be torn apart. Reporting sexual assault has become a risk. That is wrong. It's too easy to distance ourselves from these harrowing truths by worrying about undocumented immigrants. Please don't misunderstand. We must, of course, worry about undocumented immigrants. But we need to change our vocabulary so that they are more than an abstract group of people separate from us. These frightening events are happening to our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends. Panic and fear has invaded our communities. This land is our land, and what is happening is wrong. As darkness takes root, how do we stay awake for each other and for our community? What does our faith call us to do when our neighbors are in danger? We don't spend much time at UUCB reading the Old Testament. I don't know if we spend any time at UUCB reading the Old Testament. but maybe it has something to teach us. In the passage Jim read from Isaiah, some very confused Israelites say, "Hey God, we're performing the rituals correctly. We're humbling ourselves, and you don't seem to notice. We're trying to get things right. What are we doing wrong?" God's response holds a surprise. In most of the Torah, strict adherence to ritual offers the surest way to find divine favor. There are whole chapters of Leviticus and Numbers that convey step-by-step requirements for praising the divine. Yahweh sure seems like a stickler for details. But here the message is different. On the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all your workers. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Holiness does not depend on ritual, no matter how proper the form. Instead, the Israelites need to seek justice for the most vulnerable among them, and then honor God by sharing their food with the hungry, giving the homeless a place to stay, and offering clothes to the needy. Isaiah is asking his people to wake up to the suffering that surrounds them and take action. He warns them that if they ignore social justice, no amount of worship is going to win God's favor. We are far in time and space from those ancient Israelites, yet some things don't change. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Worship is not just about coming to UUCB on Sunday mornings. Acts of compassion form the heart of our faith. The darkness around us is deep. We need to be awake. There's even more to chew on in the passage from Isaiah. He urges the Israelites to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cord of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. In that phrase, God's call moves beyond paying attention to the immediate needs of the hungry. For the Israelites to set the oppressed free, they must create rituals that transform the very institutions that make their laws and govern their society. It's a potent reminder that religious communities like ours have the power to transform the world. We need that reminder. Working for structural change is part of being Unitarian Universalist. Our rituals, our worship, our actions can move our hearts towards justice and our country towards fairness. Breaking every yoke asks that we unite in solidarity with others to transform the system itself. Friends, it is our spiritual responsibility to wake up to this issue. Our first and sixth principles echo Isaiah's prophetic call. How can we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person? How can we work for peace, liberty, and justice if we ignore those hurting among us? Doing something to oppose this wrongdoing is a risk we need to take. Most of us have the privilege of citizenship, freeing us to stand up and say, "No more." We need to preach, yes, preach, our message of transformation to our friends, our families, our elected officials, whether in El Cerrito or Washington, D.C. There is no single answer, but we can't keep quiet. Maybe being awake means being willing to be woken up in the middle of the night to be a witness to an ICE raid. Maybe it means accompanying a family struggling to claim asylum. Maybe it means reaching out to immigrant communities to ask them, what can we do? How can we help? We started this morning's service with what some people call the alternative American anthem, a hymn of inclusion and spiritual resistance. Woody Guthrie's song claims this country for everyone. So as we go walking that freedom highway, let nobody living turn us back. His reminder that even if one side of the sign said private property, the other side didn't say nothing. That is a call to civil disobedience, a reminder that laws are not always just and sometimes deserve to be broken. This is our church, our community, our nation. We must stay awake and speak for justice. Let us infuse our search for spiritual depth with rituals of peace, with worship that leads to more freedom, more safety. Our faith calls us to stand on the side of love. It asks us to be alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic, to believe in the light of change despite the darkness that surrounds us. We are a sanctuary for each other here at UUCB. Will we risk being a sanctuary for others? Peace be with you. May it be so. Amen.